Good to see you all. Ka te pehea koutou. How you all doing? Ka te pai. Ka te ora, which means I'm well. Ka te pai means I'm good. Ka te Eli's pulling up his pants. I don't know what that means. This is a worry. Anyway, good to see you all. Hey, kia ora, podcast and video people. Cool that you're connecting in. Hey, I always think if you're going to miss church, why not make some time during the week to hang out with us, kind of, and hang out with Jesus. So go you for being amazing. Hey, so this morning we're looking at what traditionally gets called the Lord's Prayer, right? What they're learning upstairs. So you guys know, there's a lot of stuff I'm going to say this morning because we know the Lord's Prayer so well, and I'm going to say like 50 times, you guys already know. It's really not the Lord's Prayer, right? It's really the disciples' prayer. Make sense? Because the disciples come to Jesus, not in Matthew, but in one of the other Gospels, and they're like, oh my gosh, when you pray, it's like, you know God, or you, what the heck is happening? Because the Jewish leaders, when they prayed, it was very rote. They had like serious prayers that were written down, and you said the right thing at the right time. Certain prayers you said every, as soon as you got up in the morning, one of them which cracks me up, you would thank God that you weren't a dog, born a dog, or a woman. I was like, man, how good's that? And the woman came after the dog. It's like, I know, terrible, right? There were certain prayers you said before you ate, certain prayers before bed. It was very, like, religious. You with me, eh? Like, do this and you're a good Jew. And then they hear Jesus praying and the disciples are like, what the heck is happening? And so they come to Jesus and they're like, man, can you literally teach us how to pray? We've been taught, in quotes, but it's dumb. It's not working. It's rote. It's religion. And Jesus is like, yeah. So he gives them this kind of model, this template, which we're going to pull apart a bit this morning. So a lot of people would call this the disciples' prayer, right? So one of the big things, and I know we wouldn't think this, but you never know because some of you are kind of weird. There's no way Jesus is, and I say this real carefully, right? There's no way Jesus is saying, when you pray, just say this. Because that's the complete opposite of what was happening. Does that make sense? What he's trying to do, right? So the way I'm going to talk about it, and the way most people understand it, this is a really cool template, a really cool model. And instead of going, oh my gosh, every morning when I get up, I need to say, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I got through in 3 seconds, yes, into my day. It's like, hang on, why does he say that? Why would I ask for bread? It's like, really? Like, some of you are gluten-free. Do you really want bread? What the heck's going on? I'm like lactose intolerant. I want bread with dairy, you know. Forgiving sins, what's this? So I'm going to talk a lot about, I think Jesus is giving us like a model, a template. But in saying that, and I'm going to say this again 50 times too, at the same time, he's not saying, here is the perfect formula. So he's not saying, say this every day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He's not saying that. But he's also not saying, this is the only way to pray. Start with this, then say something like that. Do you know what I mean, eh? Okay. Thank you, the one person that said, yep, that was awesome. Okay, so we're going to talk a lot about that. So if you're wondering, most people would say John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. So John 17, mind-blowing chapters, like Ephesians 1, when you read it, you're just like, oh my gosh, it's insane. All right, so we're going to start with questions. What is this random messing up the procedure? I don't know. So here's a question. Many people say there is a correlation between busyness and lack of prayer. Do you agree or disagree, and why do you think that? So a lot of people go, the busier I get, even though I shouldn't, the less I pray. What do you reckon? Is that true or not? So grab a friend if you're a visitor. If you stare at the screen, no one will bug you. But if you're not, then people will chat to you. So have a little chat right now. If you've got no mates, look around. Someone will pounce on you and chat. We'll just take a few minutes. Whakaronga mai, which means listen back this way. What do you reckon? Any thoughts? Are you like, no, you're out to lunch, Craig. The busier I get, my prayer time just gets more and more amazing. Or are you like, yes. I don't know. What do you reckon? Yeah, nah. Tuesday? Ostrich? I don't know. Wow. All right, I will tell you what you were all thinking. Yes, Craig, you're so wise. And I'm like, I know. The number of people that I've talked to, I'm very old now. Look, lots of white. I'm so excited in my beard. The number of people I've chatted to over the years that literally will say, I really do love God. I really do. But the busier I get, the more chaotic my life is, the more crazy the planet is. I just keep finding my prayer squishing. So that's one of the little things I want to talk a bit about, right, this morning. So a few notes just before we get into it. So I've already talked about it. I think Jesus is giving us like a template. But again, we don't want to get hung up on the template-ness, right? And be like, right, there's 5 points. I must pray the 5 points. I don't think he's saying that at all. But I think he's giving us a model, not saying, just memorize this and repeat it every day and you'll be tight with Jesus, right? That totally makes sense, eh? You with me? Shot team. Another thing, and this is really, this always challenges me. Okay, here's a simple question. Who has been the busiest person who's ever walked on the planet? Who? Who do you reckon, bro?
You.
Yes. Let's just ask your wife if she agrees that you're the busiest. No, she's not. She's shaking her head, bro. The air traffic controller. No, Jesus, right? Jesus literally has 3 years to save the planet and get a bunch of clowns. No disrespect to the disciples, but total disrespect. It's sorted, and they're not sorted after 3 years. They still have no idea what's happening, which is like, really? But yet Jesus is constantly sneaking away to pray, right? And I say sneaking because if you look through the Bible, they're often looking for him. And they're like, where did Jesus go? And it's like, oh, he's off praying again. Now, if you think about it, he's not off reading his Bible because he didn't have a Bible. They'd have scrolls in the synagogue, but he's not allowed to nick the scrolls and wander off. So he's not out there reading the Bible. He's not out there on his phone playing Clash of Clans. I'm looking at you, Malachi. He's not even out there on his phone reading the Bible, right? He's out there literally praying. That's literally all, in quotes, he's doing. So this challenges me all the time. It's like, okay, this is kind of obvious, right? The one person on the planet who didn't need to pray would be Jesus. He's literally God, right? But the one person who was the busiest and made it the biggest priority in his entire life is Jesus. And so, and I don't mean this disrespectfully, man, how much more important should prayer be to us, right? I mean, you guys are amazing, but last time I checked, none of you are Jesus. None of you are God. We're all pretty human. We all have issues and struggles and stuff, and so we just need to pray. So if it's important for Jesus and he's always sneaking away, how important is it for us, right? The last thing, and I'm going to say this a lot as we go through, Jesus makes it very clear in here, and in the way he modeled his relationship with God while he was on earth. Prayer's always about relationship, right? It's all about relationship. That's why this is not a stamp thing. Learn this, and you'll be sweet with God. Because it's all about relationship. So prayer is about relationship. Prayer shows my dependence on God. Prayer teaches me to listen for the voice of God. So prayer shows my dependence on God. It's not rocket science, right? It's like if I'm going to make time, invest time in my day to spend time with God saying, help me. Man, give me today my daily bread. In other words, give me today what I need. Because honestly, I don't know half the time what I really need. Can you direct me? I mean, that's humility, right? I'm not saying, I know what I'm doing. I'm humbly coming before God. God, man, temptation smashes me. Can you help me today to fight temptation? You know what I mean? It's like prayer is always, it's relationship, but it's humility, right? It's dependence on God. And the other thing is prayer teaches me to listen for the voice of God. So I preached a few weeks back, and we see this again and again in the Bible. There's just such a massive thread through the Bible that prayer is, and I don't mean this in a rude way, prayer is not what a lot of us think, which is like, I've got a list, and I go to God and talk to him. Prayer is, yeah, there's some talking, there's some listening, there's some talking, there's some listening. It's this relationship, right? It's this connection with God. I love those first few verses that Malachi read. Verse 5, like, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues. They're so legit. He goes, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, pray to your Father in secret. It's all about this quietness, this connection, this like just being with God. And this is like the cheesiest illustration everyone always uses when they talk about God. So like me and Jose, right? My wife, Josephine. If I came home every day and had a formulaic way of interacting with her, two things would happen. One, possibly get punched. Two, be on the couch for quite a long time, which is all good because we have a really good couch. When we moved, I made sure I lay on all the couches before we bought one. I was like, this is the one. It fits me. Super comfortable. Happy to sleep on it. Jose doesn't want a formula, right? She doesn't want me coming home and being like, good evening, wife. How was your day? Mine was excellent. I would rate it a 7 out of 10 on relationship, 5 out of 10 on productivity. What's for dinner? Woman, cook me my dinner. No, I'm joking, right? She wants me to hang out with her. So we hang out. We go for a walk pretty much every day after work down by the river with our dog. Sometimes we talk. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we pray. We often throw giant logs in the river, which represents you guys. I've talked about that in the past. Sometimes we'll go for a bike ride, and often I'm an idiot on a bike. I just have to like try and kill myself, so there is no talking because I can't even breathe the whole time, whereas Joe's on an e-bike cruising along. Hey, so how's it going? Oh my God, I don't know. And I'm dying. We swam in the Waikato River heaps this summer. It was so cool, and we're like not trying to die, but there's a couple of places we go, Wellington Street Beach, if you know where it is, or up on the other side of Cobham Drive Bridge. And we like walk up the shore a bit, and then we just kind of swim out and just kind of float down, come out, walk up, float down. It's just so cool. Maybe chatting, maybe not. Maybe we're just being together, right? So to me, that's the most beautiful part of prayer, is sometimes you don't need to say anything. You just want to be with God. But again, it takes time, and in our busy, crazy lives, with everything's just nuts. We've got to be Jesus. We've got to be sneaking away. Sneaking away to make time to hang out with God. Or the day goes and you're like, oh, another day where I should have. And God's like, I was ready. Anytime. Yeah. All right. Here's a cool little quote from R.T. France. He's a super wise dude. It's not many words that God responds to, but an attitude of prayerful dependence. It's cool, eh? It's not the whole words coming with the perfect language, the perfect way to say stuff and all that craziness. I don't think God cares about that stuff at all. It's all about this relationship, this developing this relationship. Okay, so we're going to just look at this template and we're going to kind of cruise through it because I don't have hours to unpack every little bit. So here's the first part. And I've just made up these headings or whatever you want to call them. I was going to make them all start with A, and it just started getting really weird, and I was like, I give up. So, adoration, this is the first part. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, to kind of contradict what I said before, I say the Lord's Prayer multiple times a day. I love the way it can focus me back on who God is, right? But at the same time, Jesus is not saying, just say the Lord's Prayer 57 times a day and you're good to go. You know? So I'm kind of saying stuff and contradicting myself, but I think you know what I'm meaning, right? The cool thing I love about this is that it refocuses me. Before I get into any listening, before I get into my list of requests and all that crazy stuff. So cool. I love this microphone. It's my favorite microphone because it just rattles all the time. Before I get into all that, requests and forgiveness and all this stuff, Jesus starts with this cool, just stop for a minute and remind yourself who God is, right? I'm going to come with some big requests soon because my life is rough. I'm going to come asking for some strength because I get tempted all the time. Before I do all that, just pause. Remind myself, who is God? Who is this one that I call my Father, right? That's how he starts, right? What does that mean, that I am in relation to him? That means I'm his child. He's a really good Father. He cares for me more than I'll ever understand. He loves me. So before I get into my lists and all this bits and pieces, it's like, man, just pause. Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. Well, what does that mean? How do I keep God's name holy? Oh, that'd be by obeying and fighting sin and temptation and all this kind of stuff. One of the things I love in there is how clearly it's like, it's all about God. Like Al was saying before, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. It's like as I go into prayer with my requests and all my bits and pieces, I pause and I go, it's not all about me. This crazy planet is not all about me. It's actually, this is God's kingdom. There's some crazy stuff going on. It's his will that I'm pursuing, right? I think that makes sense, eh? Makes sense. I think this is really hard because when we often come to prayer, and I'm just being real blunt, we've got big things we need to talk to God about. And sometimes it's like, I just don't have time for the Our Father-y, holy stuff. I just want to get and say the stuff. And I think in doing that, we make this massive mistake where we come all broken and messed up, but we're not reminding ourselves, who is God and who am I in relation to him? He's got me, right? Makes sense, eh? I think that's cool. Okay, it's all about relationship. Here's another. So Graham and I were texting, I think, or phone. I don't know what we were doing. We were doing something this week. Oh, man. I'll just stand perfectly still for the rest of the entire sermon because I normally don't walk around. No. Graham and I were something this week, and Graham was like, oh, I read this really cool article on prayer, and so he sent it to me, and so I stole some quotes out of it. This is such a cool quote. I love this first one. The presence of God can feel elusive to us, even when we ask for it. I love this bit, because prayer isn't magic. We aren't conjurers. We cannot manufacture a true religious experience. Prayer is an encounter with the living God. The feeling that sometimes results from an encounter with God is uncontrollable because we're dealing with a personal God, not a force we can harness through incantations. I just love that. Sometimes when you pray, you're just like, okay, I obeyed God and I prayed, but I guess it worked. Do you know what I mean? And then there's other times where you pray where you're like, wow, I know God was with me. That was wild. And I love what he's saying. It's like, man, just be obedient. Just pray, all right? That's cool. Okay, so adoration, right? Let's pause before we get into it and we remind ourselves who God is, who am I? The second one, still an A. How amazing is that? Give us today the food we need. Pretty simple, right? And he's not literally meaning, give me food, give me bread, thing. Okay, I'm giving up on this because it's freaking me out. Hello. It's because I put it together. So I always get the sound people to put it together because otherwise it does that. But today it was me and that's why it's completely useless. So sorry about that. I was saying Jesus is not saying, you know, you ask for food, ask for bread. He's being metaphorical and saying, come to him with our needs. Now, I just find this really, really interesting. If you look at heaps of the templates for prayer, so there's like acts and heart and help, and there's all these crazy, you know, acronyms of how to pray. Most of them put, like acts put supplication, S, right at the end. And the idea is, you do all this other good stuff and then you get to that. And I wonder, so I don't know if this is true at all, but I just wonder if Jesus is like, yeah. But I know 90% of the time when you come to pray, you're coming because you've got a list of things you need to talk to me about, right? And so I'm going to put it right up there. Like, we're going to talk about forgiveness and temptation and all that later on, but I know until you get that off your chest, the whole, and the reason I'm coming is because I hate my job or my wife's driving me crazy. Jose, don't listen to this sermon, you know? He's like, okay, remind yourself who God is and then just get to the fact, because that's why you've come, right? Just tell me what you need. I love that, eh? Again, it's that I've reminded myself who God is, so I come with this. He's totally got me. I'm not asking in a, like, maybe kind of way. I'm reminding myself it's his will. I just come really honest and open and blunt, saying what I need. And Jesus is really cool here, because if you see in there, give us today. It's like, but what about tomorrow? I'm freaking out about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? It's Monday. Ah! And he's like, no. Tomorrow, we'll get there tomorrow, because tomorrow I'll be there with God saying, hey, God, can you give me today what I need? And then I don't have to worry about the next day because I'll be there again saying, hey, God, here I am again. Can we? I talked about this a little while ago. I love how Jesus is really strong on the whole, just don't freak out about tomorrow. And you guys know this verse from Matthew 6. So don't worry about tomorrow. I always love it. Tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And I think that's a key thing Jesus is saying. What is on your heart now? What's that big thing right now that you're stressing about, you're worrying about? Go to God with that, because you're reminding yourself he's got you, right? He's totally got you. So cool. And you guys know this verse, but I just like, oh, I just can't go past it because it's so cool. And it talks about worry and prayer, because I think a lot of us, one of our biggest things we come to God with is worry and anxiousness and freaking outness at the moment. It's Philippians 4. You guys know this super well. Don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying about everything, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and then thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I just love that. Tell him what you need. Sometimes you're going to pray. Well, I'll talk about me. Sometimes I pray like Job. Sometimes I'm really, really ticked off with God. I'm careful and I'm respectful, but I'm like, God, this, insert a word I probably shouldn't say here at church, sucks. This sucks, this situation. I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out. You know, do you know what I mean? God knows. It's not like, oh, you're not using perfect religious language here. God's like, I'm not. You know what I mean? He knows what's going on in our hearts. If you look at Job, the way Job prays is like, holy cow, Job, you're really telling God off. God already knew Job's heart. So come to God with that need. What do I really need? What's the core stuff that I need? And tell God he knows, right? So adoration, asking, and then an F. I had an A, but it was really weird.
forgiveness. And forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. This is a really crazy verse that gets a lot of people into all sorts of massive arguments and discussions about it, right? Is Jesus saying that God will only forgive us if we forgive other people? Do you see it? It's pretty clear. Forgive us our sins as or in the same way we've forgiven those who sin against us. Is that what Jesus is saying? Is Jesus saying that? So where's Bevan? Where's Bevan the man? He's hiding at the back. So say, Bevan, we're coming into church. I'm on my scooter. I'm on a little e-scooter, right? And Bevan, because he just drives like a wild man, if you've ever seen him drive, it's terrifying. And he just cuts me off and I fall into the footpath. Get out of my car, get off my scooter and say a word. I would never say in church. And I'm like, I will never forgive you. Dude, instantly I just go, whoa. I just felt all my sin come back on me. And I realized there's an angel in heaven right now with an eraser going, quick, get Craig's name out of the book of life. Because he just like didn't forgive Bevan. So is that what he's saying? Like, because you look at it, it can feel like that, right? Forgive us our sins as we've forgiven those who sin against us. If we don't forgive those who sin against us, Bevan trying to kill me on my scooter, then we instantly lose our salvation, right? Now, if we carry on reading, and again, Malachi, I read these verses, super cool. If you've got your Bible, look at it, because again, it's real good to see it. So verse 14 of Matthew 6, it looks like it's saying the exact same thing, even more clear. So this is right at the end of what we call the Lord's Prayer. If you forgive others their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive Bevan when he tries to run you over on your scooter, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it's kind of like, so if I don't forgive people, I'm losing? Kind of crazy. The simple answer, and I know you guys already know the simple answer, but the simple answer is there's a big difference between, to use the big words, between justification and sanctification, right? So there's a big difference between salvation and that ongoing relationship with God. And so the problem is if we took these verses the way I was saying with, you know, Bevan trying to kill me and I refuse to forgive him and I lose my salvation, then that contradicts so many verses in the Bible. And so what he's saying, real, and I had a whole pile of verses I was going to put up on the screen. I was like, man, we'll be here all day. All that Jesus is saying, which to me makes total sense, right, is no. Justification. When you become a Christian, that moment, which may take months, weeks, years, right, for me to get into that place where I finally come and say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Remove my sin. I now get it. Remove my sin. Become the boss of my life, right? That's that moment of justification. That's when I become a Christian. And then and I have 2 Corinthians 5:21 on my arm here. That's when the righteousness of God is transferred to me. That's when my sin, like big S, if you like, big S, my sin, the reality that I'm a sinner, is dealt with, right, on the cross, done. So that's always good, and I'm safe and secure then. What Jesus is talking about here, again, it's all about relationship, right? So what Jesus is talking about here is that then if I stop forgiving people, God's like, well, now you're going to mess up the relationship with me because you're being super, super hypocritical. Because how on one hand can I say, Bevan, I even feel horrible saying this, bro. Bevan knows I love him. I will never forgive you. Oh, God, can you forgive me for my sins? It's like, you hypocritical jerk. Why would you say that, right? I think hypocrisy in our lives is such a massive danger. And I love how Jesus is making a really big point about this. There's often people that have really hurt us. And if you've heard some of my story, I've got off the charts people that hurt me, like did evil, terrible stuff to me growing up. I have to, and this is a hard thing to say, I have to slowly and gently, God is so gentle, work to a place of forgiving them. Not condoning, but getting to a place where I can be like, okay, I hope God runs them over in a steamroller, but I forgive them, right? Because otherwise I'm being hypocritical. I refuse to forgive this person, God, but can you forgive me? And God's like, what? Wait, what? It's about relationship, right? About not living a hypocritical life. Now, in saying that, I know there's some people that you have massive hurts, like shut up hurts. So I'm not saying, quickly do a prayer and you'll be sweet. I'm saying through the gentleness and the patience and the love of God, you can get to that point, but it's super hard. But this hypocrisy just messes us up as a whānau, but it messes us up with God, right? I mean, how would Bevan feel with that whole, I will never forgive you thing? Are we going to be great friends? No. Are we going to walk into church in the same door? Nope. I'm going to see him and be like, I'll walk in a separate door. I'll come in the back door. It's locked. Damn it. I've got to go around, you know. It's hypocrisy just kills us. Hey, we've got to get to those places of forgiveness when we can, right? All right. Okay, so next one. I know we're going kind of fast through these, but that's all good. Sin. This is such a great one. Don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So this is another weird one. Like, a lot of people get their knickers in a knot over that last one to do with what did we just talk about? Forgiveness. But this one, everyone gets their knickers in massive knots. And so if you weren't aware, I'm going to put up the same verse in two different translations. And when you read them, you're like, what the? They seem to be completely different. So hopefully you're ready. And then hopefully I'll be able to explain it. And if I don't, Al is the lead elder today, so you can go and complain to him. So look at how differently they translate this this verse. New Living Translation says, don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Whereas the ESV says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So these are just super different, right? So the first one's real easy to understand. So the way the New Living Translations understood this, they're saying, don't let us yield to temptation. God, man, temptation just comes at us all the time. You agree, right? Temptation comes at us from just the society we live in. It's getting more and more disgusting all the time. Temptation comes at us directly from Satan. Satan hates us. He'd love to make us stumble and fall up. And temptation comes from our own soul, right? We just do sin, right? You should have all yelled amen to that. Don't yell amen to sinning. And so it's simply, if you look at the way the New Living Translation takes it, it's saying, man, a great thing to pray every morning would be, God, please don't let me give in to temptation today. I know I'm so weak. Can you just help me today? And the other side, and this is really hard, and again, it's not a formula that just fixes everything. When you feel that temptation coming, to just quickly catch yourself before the temptation becomes too much and you eat that third donut and go, God, can you help me not yield to temptation, right? That's the way the New Living Translation explains it, which I think's kind of clear. There's a ton of verses that talk about the same kind of thing, right? Jesus, when he's with the disciples, right before he's arrested, he says to them a bunch of times, pray that you don't fall into temptation. In other words, the same thing as what the New Living Translation is saying. Pray for strength to fight against it, right? I was trying to think of an illustration for this, and all I could come up with was a really, really lame one. So bad luck, because I'm going to tell you it anyway. This would be like, I'm at the gym, and which obviously I go to a lot. Thank you, I know. And I see a massive dude. There's some massive dudes at the gym I go to, and I'm just like, how are you even not getting crushed right now? That is an insane amount of weight. If I did that, I would die instantly. It'd be like me seeing a guy with these massive weights and being tempted to be the man. Any guys that suffer from, I just got to be the man in all situations? Just me? Okay, just me. Me and Matt. Thanks, Matt. I'm pathetic. I'm so competitive. So I'll be like, man, I can do that much weight, right? So I'm over there loading it on. Now, in this verse, it would be like, as I load on way too much weight, I'm getting tempted to try and be the man, to say to one of the huge dudes, bro, can you spot me so I don't get cut in half when I'm doing bench press? And he's like, yeah, bro. And I imagine in my terrible illustration, it's like the Holy Spirit. There's times where temptation's coming and I'm like, I can't fight this. Jesus, can you help me? Holy Spirit, can you help me? And it's like the Holy Spirit's there spotting me. Do you know what spotting means? It's when someone like helps with the weight. No, I'll take that, I'll take that, I'll take that, so I don't get cut in half, right? Okay, so the ESV takes it quite differently. So I don't have time to go into all the Greek craziness around this, but you've got to remember this is all written in Greek. And they have to work really hard to figure out, what does this word mean in the other places it's used in the Bible? What does this word mean if it was used in normal secular Greek society 2,000 years ago? And what does it mean? So this word that they've translated temptation literally means testing. And it's literally a test, what we would think of. It's like you take your car for a Wanda Fitness test. If you're in school or university, you have to sit exciting tests. It's that same kind of thing, to figure out how good, smart, strong, whatever someone is, right? And so that's the way they've gone with it. Lead us not into temptation. And I read a bunch of books on this, and the argument they were saying is that it seems to be, and you see it with the disciples. When I say this, you'll go, oh my gosh, of course, I remember seeing the disciples literally doing this. So what they're saying is the disciples, at the time of Jesus, when he gives them this prayer, and you see it in the New Testament, and we see it in our own lives, were already thinking they were the man or the woman, right? There were no woman disciples, but that's another whole story. Or were there? Mary, interesting, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Only disciples could sit at the feet of a rabbi. Interesting, another story. The idea is that Jesus is saying, hang on, and I'll read a verse in a minute. Yeah. There's times when God comes to test us, to see our faith get strengthened, but don't be a hero and be like, God, I am so spiritual and powerful in my relationship with you. Just bring on the testing anytime you want, because I am the man or woman of God, right? And Jesus is like, no, let's not do that. Let's not be arrogant asking God to test us. God will test us. Let's leave it to him. We just trust him. Don't be arrogant. Does that make sense when you see it like that? Eh? And so you remember like the disciples arguing over who's the most important, who'll sit on this side of Jesus. They're totally trying to do this, right? And it's like, oh, God, don't lead me into temptation, or don't lead me into a time of testing, but deliver me from that. I don't want to go there, right? All right, I was going to do another terrible gym illustration, but I'll skip over that. Sorry? Too tired. I don't know what Nick's saying. All right, I love this quote. This is from the article Graham sent me. Spiritual formation sometimes takes place through the powerful experience of God's presence. Amen. But most often it comes through routine and habit, through a type of tediousness where you may not feel the God whose name you invoke, and yet you continue to kneel before him, trusting that when you raise your voice in prayer to the Father above, the Son stands beside you, interceding for you, and the Spirit prays through you. I just love this. I'm going to read it again, and then I'm going to pray. Spiritual formation sometimes takes place through the powerful experience of God's presence. We agree that. Sometimes in worship, or you're in nature, sitting in an old church, spending time with other Christians. Man, sometimes the presence of God is so awesome. You're just like, oh, you know. But most often, in other words, most of the time it comes through routine and habit, through a type of tediousness where you may not feel the God whose name you invoke, and yet you continue to kneel before him, trusting that when you raise your voice in prayer to the Father above, the Son stands beside you, interceding for you, and the Spirit prays through you. There's so many times when I come to prayer, and I'm sure you're all the same, when I come to sit with God in the morning with my Bible open, and I'm just like, eh, that's cool. Well, nothing jumped out of the page. I didn't hear angels singing or the voice of God going, well done, my beloved son, in whom you are my well pleased. You know? But I know that it's part of my relationship with God, right? Now, Joseph, if you listen to this, you're not allowed to punch me. There's heaps of times when Joseph and I hang out and it's like, that was all good. We hang out. But that doesn't mean to say I'm like, well, Joseph, I'll see you in 5 weeks because this thing, you know what I mean? Hey, we just keep hanging out. And then there's other times when we hang out and it's like, it's so cool, right? So I just want to encourage you, in the midst of your busyness, I know this is kind of a pointless question to ask, I think, on a Sunday morning, but what's one little thing you could do to incorporate a little bit more prayer into your life? It may be like, I just need to get up 5 minutes earlier. It's not 5 minutes, it's nothing, right? It may be like on my way home from work, or as soon as I get home from work, I'm just going to spend 5 minutes in prayer. I'll use this Lord's Prayer as a model, right? Maybe you'll just say the Lord's Prayer. That's awesome, right? But what would be one little thing you could do to just take your prayer that one little bit closer, right? And again, sometimes that prayer will be like, oh. Other times it's like, I'm doing this because I love you, God. I'm doing this because this builds the relationship, hey? All right, let me pray, and then something amazing's happening. I have no idea what. Yeah, kia ora, Almighty God, thanks. For this wild prayer, I love how Jesus starts, that you are our Father. He doesn't just say, God, which we know you are, but Father. He starts with relationship and then just unpacks all these key little bits. I don't know whether I'm on the right track or not, Jesus, but I love how you bring, just tell me what you want right towards the beginning. Because so often we come to you, that's the number one thing we want to get off our chest. Yeah, we need to forgive people, we know that. Yeah, we need to ask for strength and temptation. And it's cool to remind myself of who you are and who I am in relationship to you. And then be like, okay. I know this is rude, God, but the whole reason I came was because there's some stuff I need to sort out. I need to ask you to help me with this, provide for me with this. And I've just said, you're my Father, so I know that you will. Yeah. Thanks, Jesus, for the wild example you set of sneaking away just all the time, it seems, to be with your Father, just to pray, to be in his presence, to listen to him, to talk to him. Yeah, I know none of us are as busy as you, apart from Matt, I guess. I just really pray that as we do continue to be disciplined and make time to connect with you, that we'll have more and more of those times of really feeling your presence, feeling your closeness, God. Yeah, but at the same time, we just want to be obedient. We want to make that time. Yeah, I pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.